You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into a Friday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. It's Friday, so we're opening up the mailbag. We've got questions about the Heat trading for Devin Booker, the NBA playoffs, and the next big battle on Game of Thrones. But let's start with this question from Billy from Cleveland. Philly is about to have a slew of free agents and is about to have to make a tough decision regarding whether or not to keep Jimmy or Tobias because it's unlikely they can keep both while reloading their bench unit. What do you think about a sign and trade for both Boban and Tobias? You could pick which pieces you think Philly would like best. I've seen Hassan to Philly as a backup center to Joel. Hassan will accept this role because he knows Philly will rest Joel on most back-to-backs, and Joel is injury-prone, meaning he will get at least 20 to 30 games as a starter a season. Should I try to do the? Should I try to say Joel like Brett Brown? Joel? I don't know how. Joel. I've seen different pairings sending either two of Deion, Dragic, James, and Kelly to Philly. So would you sign and trade for a should-be all-star in Tobias? Would you bring his best friend Boban into the fold as well? And who would you let go that would make it a balanced enough trade that Philly accepts it instead of just letting Tobias go for nothing? So let's... two kind of questions here. And I think Billy's right, and I think he stole the Hassan Whiteside for sign and trade to Philly from us. But that's fine. Billy's a loyal listener. He's allowed to steal ideas. Should they do a sign and trade for Tobias Harris? And if so, how would that work? I think that's where we start. Would you do a sign and trade for Tobias Harris, David?
That's a tough question. I mean, he's 26 years old, kind of fits the window as far as what Miami's looking to do as a young player that you can build around. I don't know that he necessarily becomes Miami's best player. Like that's debatable, right? And I think you're looking at Miami as a destination spot that is in need of a true leader.
Most productive scorer. I would agree, not best player, but most productive scorer immediately.
And I don't know that he's comfortable in that leadership role. Like, he's had a really strange career. Drafted by Milwaukee, traded to Orlando, traded to Detroit, traded to the Clippers, traded to Philadelphia. I mean, he's only 26, and he's in his, what, sixth season? It seems like he's been in the league for an eternity. And he's played on almost as many teams as he has over the course of his career, you know, a number of years in his career. So I don't know that he's the kind of person that you want on your team as the leader that this team needs. And so if you're trying to address what's missing in this roster, I don't know that Tobias Harris is that player. Like, he's a fine player. He's versatile. He can play both front court spots. He's not a bad defender. I don't know if I wouldn't qualify him as a great defender, but he has moments
above average.
Yeah.
Switchable.
And switchable. And we assume that he'll probably be able to learn and take his defense to another level in Miami, just because that's what happens routinely in Miami. But offensively, he's got range, 36% shooter for his career, right? From 3-point range.
Yeah. He can run some pick and roll.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been developing that. He's good in the mid range. I think he would bring Miami something that they need, in that they need a 20-point-per-game score. Tobias Harris is that. If nothing else, he is that. And he is a non-negative on defense. You could play him at power forward. You could play him at small forward, even though I think that gives the Heat almost too much size if you have, like, Justice, Josh, and Tobias.
Mm-hmm.
You need somebody that can get out and guard a point guard. And I'm not, you know, other than Josh Richardson, you probably want Josh on, I don't know. You probably need a little bit more of a smaller backcourt and play Tobias at the four there. But I think it would work.
How's his pick and roll?
But he's
defense?
Not your superstar. He's not your all star. He's not the guy that's going to get the Heat into contention in the East. But he could help the Heat. The problem is what they'd have to sign him to, because in a sign and trade, Philadelphia signs him, and then Miami takes on the contract. And it looks like Tobias Harris is going to make somewhere between $25 and $30 million this summer. And you and I were talking before we started recording here. We think he's a $20 million per year player. And if you're the Heat, you're already sort of... It's the strings are tight on the cap books right now. And so to go out and sign a guy with that much money, it's not going to be easy for the Heat to build around Tobias Harris and what and whatever else they have left after they execute a sign-and-trade. But let's talk about what it would look like anyway, just to have a sign-and-trade. Because if we assume that Tobias Harris is going to make, let's say, let's go to the high end and say $30 million, okay? You'd have to trade them Goran Dragic and Deion Waiters for the salaries to get to work. That's Dragic and Deion. You combine those salaries, it's $29.6 million for next season. Dragic, of course, comes off the books. So that helps free up. If you're Philadelphia, you are trading Tobias Harris in a sign-and-trade. You're basically admitting, like, we could these four guys didn't work. We need to trade one of them to bring in more depth. Dragic and Deion is your backcourt, is your backup backcourt.
Yeah, right, T.J. McConnell was largely unplayable. He still is. And he's had bad moments throughout the course of the season. I mean, with Deion and Dragic there, that's a nice pairing. I mean, I think it helps them considerably. It's a 1-2 punch. You can go small. You can go big. You can plug them in differently alongside Ben Simmons, et cetera. That could be a really
nice... Yeah, J.J. Redick is going to be a free agent, too. So you can potentially have one of those guys fill in as a starter as well.
Yes.
And then I think you would have to sweeten it with a pick swap. You trade Miami's 13th pick, most likely, for Philadelphia's pick in the 20s, wherever it ends up landing. So... Dragic, Deion, and a pick swap for Tobias for the right to pay Tobias Harris $30 million. That's kind of what it's looking at. But let's go to this next question from S.R. Friedman, who writes in.
Well, you ignored a big part of Billy's question. Would you Boban? Bring in Boban into the fold?
Yes. That's if not... you got Tobias, you bring on Boban just for the entertainment value. Absolutely.
Is he a free agent, too?
Let me look it up.
Yeah, I thought he still had another year left. I mean, they signed into that huge deal in Detroit.
You just... You say it's unnegotiable. Boban has to be in the trade.
He can't. Or else. It doesn't matter. He can't. If you're already putting in that much salary.
He's a free agent.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he made $7 million this year as a free agent. You could probably get a Toby discount with Boban. Tobias Harris is there. Boban would probably he might take the minimum to sign and hang out with his buddy. Yeah, I think you just go after it.
So then SR you'd have, Friedman, but then you'd have, on the center position, you'd have Hassan Whiteside, Kelly Olynyk,
Bam Adebayo. Boban doesn't have to play. He just needs to show up in videos on social media and stuff.
Is this what we're doing now? Are we just going to have Boban there as a joke? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Wow. That didn't go the way I thought it would. He's not a great player. He has his moments, but we can't just have him as a roster addition costing $5 million a year.
Well, if you're able to... Well... $5 million a year, no. You sign if he comes for the minimum, you bring him in. If not, then he goes somewhere else.
Oh, wow. Breaking up the all-star.
It would be quite a story if Tobias Harris and Boban Marjanovic played their entire careers together. That would be nuts. Well, not for Tobias, and not really for Boban. But if they played like the rest of their careers together, that would be nuts.
Yeah.
They're gonna have to break up at some point.
Yes.
You know. That's the NBA.
All right.
SR Friedman writes in, isn't Jimmy Butler the exact, in all caps, type of player that Miami wants, even though him alone won't take us to the promised land, shouldn't Miami be going after him? I think we got this question after we got the Tobias question from Billy, but it's related because if there was a sign and trade, you could potentially, theoretically, go after Tobias Harris or Jimmy Butler. Now, Philadelphia would be, I guess, in the driver's seat, so to speak.
Yes. They get to control the shots. I was going to say, in my mind, it kind of feels a little bit like what Pat Riley did in 2003 with the Clippers and luring Lamar Odom here when he actually signed Elton Brand to an offer sheet. Obviously, different rules here. Neither of these players are restricted free agents, but Philadelphia is going to have to make a decision. So maybe Miami goes hard after Tobias. Philadelphia relents, knowing Elton Brand being the way that he is. Although, you know, curiously enough, ironically, Elton Brand being one of the players that Miami had signed back in 2003 to an offer sheet. Now, Philadelphia's general manager, he'd have to, you know, he'd have to accept the Tobias offer maybe and then kind of re-sign him. And then that wouldn't leave enough cap space for Jimmy Butler, potentially.
Who would be more likely to test the waters in free agency, Jimmy Butler or Tobias Harris? I think it would be Jimmy, only because Tobias has been traded like 14 times in the last 3 months. I would bet Tobias Harris is just like, you know what, Philly's fine, I'll stay here. But maybe, I mean, I could be wrong, but more like, I think Jimmy Butler might be the guy with the wandering eye a little bit more.
He does like the attention. That is Jimmy's personality. Mm. He is, you know, he likes to be the center of attention. He had a quiet upbringing, and that's no longer the case now. He wants to prove himself at every level. He likes the connections to Hollywood and all-star type, you know, those kinds of things. And I would imagine that he would probably want to be courted a little bit.
And Philadelphia was not on his list.
No, they weren't. No, they
and,
weren't.
And Miami was. L.A. was. And look, Pat Riley said it in his end-of-season press conference. The players decide. I think Jimmy Butler could decide. Jimmy Butler could say, I want to go play in Miami. Make it work. We've seen him work his way out, weasel his way out of situations twice before. He could do it again. I have no doubt. He will make Philadelphia a nightmare if you know, they sign him and not trade him if he wanted to be traded, right?
Yeah.
So if he doesn't want to be there, he'll let them know. And if he doesn't want to be there and he wants to go to Miami, then when Miami, all of a sudden, they have a pretty decent offer. If it's Dragic, Dion, and a pick swap, that's not a bad offer for Jimmy Butler. Or Whiteside, like Billy pointed out and like we pointed out on a prior podcast. Hassan Whiteside on an expiring contract for Jimmy Butler, because if you're Philadelphia, at least you get to maintain some cap flexibility, which you would be otherwise losing by signing Jimmy Butler and or Tobias Harris. So maybe something like that works. I do think that Riley, in his end-of-season press conference, saying it's up to the player, talking about the fact that he's done signing trades in the past, given that Jimmy Butler had just been hanging out in Miami with Dwayne Wade for like a week.
Right.
I'm just connecting the dots here.
No, I mean, we've seen these signs for a while now. We've made this connection to Miami well before he was rumored to want out of Minnesota. Like, I remember discussing this last year while he was in Minnesota guiding to the playoffs. We still thought, you know, at some point Jimmy Butler was the kind of player that Miami would make a push for. And sure enough, it did play out the way we had projected it to do so over the summer. But I mean, he is the kind of player that Miami wants. I don't know how sincerely they can go after him, because, you know, they'll make an offer. I'm sure they'll reach out to his representation, but it's Jimmy's choice. And a lot of that, I think, also hinges on how deep their run is this year in the playoffs. Yeah. That could change things a lot. He might feel content with staying with his group. Maybe he forms a bond with Embiid and Simmons and realizes, oh, I'm going to stay here. Maybe they talk to Tobias and try and keep him as well.
If they beat Toronto and go to the conference finals, that he would be nuts to leave, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, I think you're right. So if you're a Heat fan, you want Jimmy Butler. You should be rooting for Toronto in this series. And by the way, is Jimmy Butler the exact... It sounds like you would rather have Jimmy Butler over Tobias Harris. Can we at least just... We could say that? We can establish that?
From my perspective, yes, I think Jimmy...
Okay, I would agree with that too. There's just a higher upside with Jimmy Butler. I think Tobias Harris gets a lot of love on NBA Twitter because he's a 3-and-D guy, his efficiency, blah, blah, blah. Jimmy Butler just does stuff that Tobias Harris can't do, and I like that. And this last season, as fun as it was with Dwayne Wade and the One Last Dance and all that, next season, if this roster is the roster, it is going to be a boring season. At the very least, Jimmy Butler is entertaining. And so I'm all in on the Jimmy Butler experience. Let's just go for it. Just do it. I'm all in. I'm all in.
Yeah, Tobias, look, he's a solid player. I mean,
I like him.
Yeah, he's fine. But if you're going to be spending north of $20 million, and we expect that that's the case,
yes,
you better nail that signing. I mean, look, that's not to say that Jimmy doesn't come without flaws either. At his age and with wear and tear, the Thibodeau effect that we've seen play out for players later in their careers. I mean, these are all real factors to consider.
I would hesitate to sign him to a 4-year contract. That would be scary to me.
Yeah. And he's not at that point either. This isn't LeBron in 2010. He could, you know, at that point in time, LeBron could sign a 4-year deal. Nowadays, it's 2-year deals with a 1-year option, you know? I mean, you don't. And I don't know that Jimmy is going to be that type of player, because this might be his last best chance at a big deal.
Let's take a break and then get to some more of your questions. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Let's talk about ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, spotlights the top candidates so that you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. One day, that's all it takes. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. David, maybe the Heat should use ZipRecruiter when it comes down to Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler.
If only
I wonder what they would... If only it were that easy, but if you're the Heat and you're saying, okay, we need a top scorer, we need an alpha dog leader, we need somebody to get us to the playoffs, if those were the three criteria, would it be Jimmy or would it be Tobias that you think would come out as a higher percent match?
I think it's pretty clear that it would be Jimmy Butler.
I don't know. I think that they would... I don't know the algorithm that ZipRecruiter uses. That seems to be probably a private thing, but I think Tobias would be the guy that would sort of match that. He's been on winning teams between the LA Clippers and Philadelphia. Both of the teams he played for went to the playoffs. I think whatever algorithm would factor that in.
Well, with at least an 80% success rate, whoever they choose, we can guarantee would be a perfect fit for Miami.
I hope they would pick Jimmy Butler. But I feel like they might pick Tobias. That's what I'm talking about with Jimmy Butler. It's like that those other things.
Maybe they'll go out somewhere else. Maybe they'll find a different option. That's the beauty of ZipRecruiter.
Kevin Durant? All right, ZipRecruiter, smartest way to hire. Chris writes in, what would a package of Devin Booker look like for the Heat, even though he was paid with all the changes? I can't imagine he's happy out there. Yeah. Great question, Chris. We've talked about Devin Booker before. I've joked about Devin Booker. I call him future Miami Heat player Devin Booker. Just signed a five-year, $158 million extension that kicks in next year. So if the Suns were to trade him anywhere, it would be unheard of to sign him to that extension and then trade him in the first year of that extension. I don't think anything like that has ever happened, David, but the closest thing I could find to it...
Not an extension, but it happened with Blake Griffin.
Well, you're right, but that's different, right? Blake Griffin was arguably at that time, thought of to be at that time past his prime. Yeah, what did they get? They got Tobias Harris, role players, and a draft pick?
Yes.
That's what it would be, too, because I thought about the Kyrie Irving trade when Cleveland traded him. He still had a year left on his deal, so it was sort of similar, right? There was not a need to trade him immediately.
It's got to be an all-star player in exchange for Devin Booker, which Miami does not have.
I mean, Kyrie got Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Ante Zizic, and Brooklyn's 2018 unprotected first.
That was a bad deal by Cleveland?
Yeah, but Isaiah Thomas was an all-star, right?
But coming off a major injury.
Coming off a major injury, but also a season in which he finished in the top five in the MVP voting.
Sure.
Jay Crowder, a high-quality contributor on a bargain contract.
Yes.
Ante Zizic, nice prospect kind of guy.
Yes.
And then a first-round pick. In this case, Brooklyn's first-round pick. But you're right. Isaiah Thomas had the injury concern. That unprotected Brooklyn pick was sort of insurance in case Isaiah Thomas never got back to where he was, and he wasn't. And so the Cavs ended up getting Colin Sexton out of it, which wasn't terrible. Considering that they had to trade Kyrie, that he was demanding to be traded. But so for Devin Booker, it's all-star caliber player, a contract-friendly role player, a nice little prospect kind of guy, and a first-round pick. That's probably the price for Devin Booker.
Jay Rich.
That's where negotiations start.
Jay Rich, Josh Richardson. Yeah, yep. Bam Adebayo and a pick.
And then you'd have to throw in, because he's making $27 million, Phoenix's choice of Deion Waiters, James Johnson, or Kelly Olynyk. So it'd be one of those, whoever they pick, they would have to get to pick Josh Richardson, Bam Adebayo in a first. I think you could maybe argue to have that first round pick top three protected, but that's about it.
Is that worth it for Devin Booker? He's a star player that you want, yeah.
He's probably worth it in a vacuum, but if you're Miami, you've got nothing. Like, you just become the Phoenix Suns East Coast version.
Well,
you've just traded Josh Richardson and Bam. You've got nothing to and a first round pick. You've got nothing to trade. You've got nothing to build around.
That's fair. I mean, they are. Yeah, it would be harsh for Miami as far as what their future would look like, because again, you severely limited. Like right now, we're talking about the optimism of Miami's front office and that they have young players under contract. There's hope there. Eventually, the more burdensome contracts come off the books. You acquire a superstar in Devin Booker, sure, that's great. But who do you surround him with in the future? I mean, and there's nobody there in the present either. So
yeah, it would be Justice Winslow and Devin Booker. I mean, how far does
and
that
Hassan
get?
And Hassan Whiteside.
For 1 year, yeah.
Goran Dragic?
For 1 year, yeah.
I mean,
I guess you would think about re-signing Whiteside. try to re-sign Goran Dragic, I guess, but I don't like the Dragic-Booker backcourt at all.
No.
That they can't stop anybody defensively. I would almost just have Booker and Justice as my backcourt and then try to build around them.
Yeah, that would be a bad team. Because your starting lineup would probably be Dragic, depending on who they select of those more burdensome contracts. It would be Dragic, Booker, Justice at the three again, which, you know, takes the ball out of his hands the way we didn't want him. Hassan would be starting now more likely because Bam is gone. And whoever is left, either Kelly Olynyk or James Johnson, would start the four alongside him.
You have to use your mid-level exception to bring in somebody. I mean, you could do stuff. I mean, look, you could do stuff with it. I just wouldn't trade that much away if I'm Miami. That said, I do really want Devin Booker in Miami. He seems to really like it in South Beach. I just really don't want to wait five years for it.
He went to Brooklyn to see Dwayne Wade's last game.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the way, right before the draft, he spoke about meeting with Riley, and it was the summer that Dwayne Wade left, right? I'm not mistaken.
If you could pull off that sign-and-trade for Jimmy Butler and then pull off a separate trade for Devin Booker, because the sign-and-trade we talked about didn't involve the players we were talking about in the Booker trade, right? If you could pull off a sign-and-trade for Jimmy Butler and trade for Devin Booker, and somehow managed to keep Justice Winslow through all of that, is that trio enough? Booker, Butler, Winslow. It would pain me to see Josh and Bam go.
Yes.
But that would be really fun. I don't know how good that team is. That team isn't the best team in the East, but I don't know if you can be the best team in the East as long as Giannis is going to be in Milwaukee. I mean, he is about to take over the Eastern Conference. So your goal, I guess, would be to be one of the top three or four teams in the Eastern Conference. Probably one of the top three teams in the East. Kawhi Leonard leaves, possibly. If Philadelphia rejiggers its thing, who knows what's going to go on with Boston. But that would have a chance to be pretty good. It was just how much can Justice and Devin Booker really grow? And does that offset Jimmy Butler's eventual decline? But that would be at least a very entertaining team. Any more thoughts on that, or do you want to move on?
No, I think we can move on.
Kyle writes in, what second round series have you enjoyed the most so far, David?
It's been great, I think. There have been some up and down moments, you know, as we could expect. I think a lot of people had high hopes for the Eastern Conference in particular because there were some pretty good matchups with a lot of star players, and that's always fun. Unfortunately, Boston and Milwaukee just hasn't lived up to the hype because it's been a lopsided win for either team for the first two games. We're recording this, obviously.
Yeah, I was really excited for that one. It's just both the games have been like over in the first half.
Yeah. Boston came out and punched Milwaukee in the face in game one, which is not what I expected to be the case.
And Giannis hasn't really played well in either of the games.
Right.
That's the only reason you tune into Milwaukee. I'm not here to see Chris Middleton. You know? Like, he's an all-star. He's nice. Mm-hmm. I'm here to watch Giannis, and he's not been good.
Why aren't we talking about Middleton as a sign-and-trade option?
Should we be talking about Middleton as a sign-and-trade option? I feel like he is going to end up in L.A. or Milwaukee. Right? Either L.A. is just way over. I think he wants to be in Milwaukee from everything that, you know, I'm reading. Yes. I haven't. But if L.A. just comes, if, like, the Lakers basically strike out, or if the Clippers strike out, and they're just like, we'll just throw $30 million at this guy, that's tough to say no to.
Yes, it is.
I think Jimmy Butler is a sign trade guy, but
yeah,
I've really enjoyed. Did you answer yet?
I did not. No, I was saying basically I hadn't enjoyed Boston Milwaukee as much as I did. It's the other Eastern Coast, I'm sorry, Eastern Conference matchup that I've enjoyed, which is Toronto Philadelphia. It's been tough battles both times. Great defense from both teams, and some nice moments offensively from either group. Kawhi has been phenomenal and was phenomenal in game one, and then Jimmy in game two. That was fun to watch, and I've enjoyed it. Look, I got a chance to cover Toronto while they were in Orlando, and they're kind of my pick to advance to the finals just because I saw enough there that I kind of liked what I saw. But at the same time, Philadelphia showed up in game two, which is not something I expected. I thought there would be limitations there, especially with Joel Embiid hurting, and they played well, to be honest with you. So
Joel.
Yeah, that Joel. Guy.
It's been a really physical series. I've really liked Philly and Toronto. It's been physical. You've got Kawhi and Jimmy who are making tough shot after tough shot, right? I like that because I was going to say Houston and Golden State only because I'm covering it. So I feel like I have to say it, and I've enjoyed covering it. So that is quite honestly the series I have enjoyed the most because I get to cover it. But from just watching the games have not been good. Between Houston and Golden State, they've kind of been boring.
Well, the fouls, the complaining about the fouls, and Harden's injury, it's just, there's a lot.
Both of these teams are really like, just go play basketball. And that's, I'm sitting there in press conference, I'm just like, can you guys just stop being so, everybody is so in their own, they're in their feelings all the time. Like
six Hall of Fame level players in that matchup, and you're still not enjoying it. That's the argument against why you have to acquire star players.
It's their fault. I'm not taking the blame on this. They are all moody. Draymond Green is the only one that's been in a good mood, and it's because he lost 20 pounds.
And he's angry, and this is perfect for him. He wants to win, and he'll kill anybody at all costs in order to win.
He's enjoying all of this. Yeah. James Harden is so miserable. I've never seen a more miserable All-Star.
And the thing about Chris Paul, too, is that it's not that he loves winning. Like, Draymond loves winning. It's that, for Chris Paul, and he said this a million times, it's that he hates losing. Can you imagine that being the driving factor? It's not like you're trying to accomplish anything, but you're trying to prevent something from happening, rather.
Especially because he's lost so many times.
Yeah. And then as far as the Warriors are concerned, with the exception of Draymond, they've got to be tired at this point. It's an exhausting five-year run, and... I mean, it's coming to a close.
How do you feel about that series? A lot of people are just, Warriors are up 2-0. It's over.
Yeah, I never thought Houston had much of a chance either. I've always been consistent in that. I didn't think Houston had a chance last year, even though they took them to Game 7.
I still think I think they get Game 3, and I would not be surprised if they got Game 4 and this thing's tied going back to Oakland.
Wow.
That's just how I think.
But you also thought Houston would win Game 2.
I had Houston winning the series, and I'm not ready to come off of that yet. I still don't trust Golden State completely. They still turn the ball over a lot. First game on the road. I don't think that the extended break is going to help them. I think that helps Houston. Game 3 is on Saturday. And then the Rockets are going to win a game just because they're going to catch fire from three-point range. They are going to win a game because of that, no matter what. It's going to happen.
Portland Golden State should be fun in the finals, Western Conference finals.
I'm really into Portland. I wish that Portland Denver series, game two was last night. That was game two, right?
Yes.
That was a really boring game. I think both teams combined to score like 75 points or something. But that one will get better. Damian Lillard and Jokic, they're too good. Let's take a break and then get to our last question. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember, to get this show every day, subscribe to Locked On Heat on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and constantly updated new features. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Heat. Thanks to our sponsor, ZipRecruiter. You could support them and support us by going to ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. And we're gonna end the show by talking some Game of Thrones here. So no more basketball. Spoiler alert, if you're not a Game of Thrones person or you're not caught up, I don't know how you could not be caught up at this point. And if you weren't caught up, it's probably already been spoiled for you. But we're talking about Game of Thrones from here on out. So if you don't care to hear about it, end the podcast. We're not going to talk about anything else you're interested in. Let's get into it now. Kyle writes in, Episode 5 of Game of Thrones will supposedly feature another huge battle, most likely Cersei versus the world. Who do you expect/want to die in the battle?
Wow.
David, I have another question on the heels of this question for you.
Go for it.
Over under 1.5 Lannisters dying in that battle. Or within the next two episodes, because we just got done with Episode 3. Episode 4, I imagine, will be a little bit more of a setup for Episode 5 for the Cersei matchup.
I think the numbers there, you might need to tweak those, considering Cersei's pregnant. Does the baby count as the half?
No, baby doesn't count, because now that's a whole political issue. 1.5 Lannisters.
I'm going to pick the over on that.
We've got Cersei, Jaime, Tyrion. Do we have any other Lannisters left?
There are others out there. Well,
those are the Lannisters we care about, right?
Yeah.
Are there any others? Those might be the three.
Yeah, I was thinking about her cousin, the one who wound up joining the Sparrows. He died in the Dragonfire, so I mean, he's done. I don't know. I'm sure there's other Lannisters out there somewhere, but yeah.
You go the over.
Yeah, I'm going to the over. I think so. Either Tyrion and Cersei will die, or Jaime and Cersei will die. But Cersei.
But definitely Cersei. Yeah,
she can't live in this post Night King world. I mean, there's no place for her there.
How much of a letdown would that be if they like do the whole thing with the Night King and then Cersei's just like,
sorry,
I've got the golden army and a pirate, and you guys are done.
Okay, I don't know that I want anybody in particular to die, but Euron Greyjoy, I don't mind him dying.
I want him to die. I do not like his character that much, which I know is off brand for me. But he's like Diet Ramsay.
Yeah, he's not even a sociopath. It's something he just he looks like he takes pleasure in these things one way or the other. He's just having fun. It's like, dude, come on, just.
And he's not smart. And he think like my least favorite character is the character. Okay, well, my least favorite character is the character who thinks he or she is a lot smarter than they actually are, and he is that. I don't like those characters. I like the character that is really intelligent. That is really like Ramsay was really smart.
Oh my god! Can we stop with the Ramsay Bolton stuff?
it's been three seasons, Wes. No, it's. But
well, okay.
That's what made him a great villain. Right? I didn't like
Sansa
Joffrey.
Sansa Stark.
Now you're just trying to. Now you're just trying to bait me. I see no way Arya dies. She can't kill the Night King and then die. Like, she lives forever. She's good. A lot of people want to see Bran dead. People are sick of Bran. But I'm not ready for that. I need to know what's going on in his head.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to warm up to the more likely possibility that Bran is just secretly evil. Or so detached that he's beyond concepts of good or evil. He knows how it's going to play out, and he's just a passive witness to everything.
He's the living embodiment of... It is what it is.
Oh, that sounds horrible. Yeah, I don't know if I want him to die either. I still have hope. Like, then there's the whole, the reality that maybe being paralyzed in his childhood kind of, like, damaged him psychologically to the point where he's like, you know what, I don't mind the world burning a little bit. And there's still, I think I've still seen some people, maybe you brought this up as well, that he could still be the Night King. In some weird twist of time, alternate reality kind
of. If this turns into some like time traveling thing for the next three,
not time travel necessarily, but like
the loop, the three-eyed Raven, yeah,
exists at all times and all places. And if that's the case, then why couldn't he be? Although we saw the person who became the Night King, and it certainly wasn't Bran.
Right, that's kind of. I thought that put an end to the whole Bran thing, is because when the flashback with the Children of the Forest, they showed he like the Night King was one of the first humans or whatever,
right?
And they stabbed him with a thing, and then he became the Night King,
right?
So I don't know, bad but move. Maybe there's a bad new move. Night King.
That's a bad shot right there. Thank you.
I think Jaime of Tyrion and Jaime. It sounds like one of them. I think Jaime goes. I think he probably dies. Defending someone against Cersei or dies somehow.
Killing Cersei.
Killing
Cersei. The mountain, or what's left of the mountain, kills Cersei. I mean, kills Jaime as he kills Cersei.
Oh, it's just like one of those, you know, everybody's got the guns out, three-way kind of thing.
Except their swords, and Cersei's defenseless. Because she's...
Well, we're gonna get Clegane Bowl, right?
I don't know.
Clegane Bowl, whatever it is.
Clegane, yeah.
Well, we better. I mean, he's going to go. We've wanted that forever.
Now, has the Hound, as far as his, cool ability ranking, has he dropped a little bit considering he was kind of petrified for most of the night battle?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not as cool as he once was, right? Do we still have...
He hasn't been cool for like four seasons.
Really?
I've never really, like, the whole thing with the Hound for me was I just wanted to see him fight the mountain. That's all I've wanted the whole time.
See, that doesn't seem very likely. Like, the mountain's going to kill him. One, the mountain's already dead, so I don't know how that's going to work out. But
well, it would be old school Game of Thrones for them to fight and then the mountain just crush him. It would be very new school, like nobody dies against the zombies at all, basically, except for Ed. For the Hound to beat the mountain, right? And I do think we'll end up going new school Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're with the showrunners now. They are writing it. We're no longer with the books. Ever since the books ended, there's been no, like, Red Wedding, old school, just brutal stuff.
Ooh, maybe.
Or what's his face got his skull crushed. Yeah. But that was also, wasn't that in the books too? I don't remember. I didn't read the books. So I just
I don't know if they started going off the rails at that point. I don't think it was. I think that was written by George R. R. Martin.
Okay.
Kyber, Meister Kyber, he's dead.
Oh jeez. Oh, well, we still have this other thing with Bronn with the crossbow. Who's he kill with that? Ooh. Somebody dies because of that crossbow. And he's supposed to go after Jaime, but that seems too clean.
See, that could be the way that he dies. Like, Jaime kills Cersei standing over him, and then a bow comes from out of nowhere and kills Jaime.
Yeah, that'd be disappointing.
Would it?
What if Bran shoves Jaime out of a window?
How is Bran going to do that? He's tied to the chair.
with a warg into a bear or something. I don't know.
Wow. He thought of everything. Hodor comes back. Yes.
Who do you least want to die? Let's end it with that. Who do you least... Like, who are you just like... If this person dies, you're going to just be like, I didn't want that person to die.
That's a tough one. Tyrion, probably?
Yeah. I agree with you. I see no reason for him to die. There was a little foreshadowing there with him and Sansa, right? Sansa.
Well, he's... No, I mean, look, Daenerys said she needs his brain. Maybe that's a shift in her way of approving him. Like, she's always been, I think respectful of him because of his intelligence and his ability to kind of plan and things of this sort. But she started losing confidence in him, and now maybe she kind of, at Jorah Mormont's suggestion, kind of has changed her perspective a little bit. So, yeah, I don't know. I think there's a place for Tyrion, certainly, in a post-Cersei world. He'll be the last... I mean, well, do you want... Here's a question for you as a Sansa fan. Do you want him to hook up with Sansa?
Well, there's a little... We planted the seeds for them to get back together and possibly do something worthwhile. I don't entirely care that much.
Mm.
As much as I love Tyrion and Sansa, I don't really care if they end up back together.
See, I would like them to be kind of like wardens of the North, like co-wardens of the North. Yeah, sure.
And I mean, the thing Tyrion has going for him is that he deserted the Lannisters first and early.
Yeah.
And so... If we're breaking the wheel, then the Lannisters sort of just have to get wiped out. And as much as Jaime has changed over the course of the show, he's still very much a Lannister. Tyrion is almost not Lannister anymore, right? And so, I would give him the best chance of surviving out of that out of those three. I don't know.
We still think Brienne is like almost 100% locked to die.
Now, I guess, yeah.
Does she survive the last battle? You think?
Yeah, but she'll die. She'll die. Right?
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I mean, unless she becomes the new Jaime and is like the knight, the new knight of the new realm.
That's an
interesting one without family ties and only loyalty.
She is a knight of the Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah, so I could see that maybe being her arc where Jaime falls off and she is the last knight. And then that turns into like a Star Wars spinoff.
Oh, you know who would be upsetting? Ser Davos, too.
The Onion Knight. If he survived I don't know. I feel like after they all survived this, it's like it would be almost weird if they died, but people have to die.
They do.
I just don't know how Ser Davos gets in the situation where he dies. He's never in the battles. He's like, he just kind of...
I love him.
He shows up at the beginning.
To the wall, watching as Arya is like killing like 30 of the zombies at once.
He has an ability to be so involved pre-battle, pre-every battle, and then basically disappear for the entire battle, and then show up after the battle and be like, "Oh, guys, that was brutal, wasn't it?" And be like, "Wait, you're still here?
Care for an onion?
Care for an onion? Yeah. They're roasted. You ever put them in the tinfoil? Great. Okay. Well, we're gonna talk about Game of Thrones on Blue Notebook Monday. Episode 4 is this Sunday. I'm really excited for it, but." That's all we have for today. This has been Mailbag Friday, Friday Mailbag. Thanks for listening. You can connect with us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat. Email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll be back next week. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.